You can take your Bibles and turn them to Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to read the first 11 verses of Matthew chapter 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word we have in our hands. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. We thank you for our freedom and our privileges, our opportunity to preach freely, to believe what we believe, and, Lord, to proclaim it. We thank you, Lord, for a great salvation, so great and so mighty. We thank you for the unspeakable gift of thy Son. I ask you, Father, to open your word to us this day. Give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. After John had pointed him out as the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And after that, he is forced out into the wilderness. He goes out there and he spends 40 days and 40 nights. I think it's significant that the Bible says 40 days and 40 nights. Many of the Arabs fast. They have all these fast days. They don't fast at night. They don't eat during the day, which is not such a big deal, really. But as soon as nighttime comes, there's a big feast. All of them, they eat at night, so they don't fast day and night. They just fast during the days. It's like you skipping a meal or skipping two or three meals or whatever. But Jesus fasted day and night for 40 days and said afterward he was hungry. Again, another thing thinking about this fasting, he wasn't without water. I believe Moses probably went 40 days without bread or water, food or water, when he was with the Lord. But I believe God sustained him, particularly, specially, miraculously, or whatever, while he was giving him those things. But when it comes to Jesus, it does not say he did not take water. And some of you that practice a little bit of fasting, don't go shy on the water. That's a real dangerous thing to do. He fasted 40 days. How hungry would you be if you hadn't eaten in 40 days? Some of you can't miss a meal, and I'm included. In fact, I like meals between my meals. And I like meals on top of my meals, and I like dessert after my meal. The truth of the matter is, we don't have much willpower, do we? But Jesus is driven into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. That was the purpose right there. The temptation of Jesus Christ is what I'm going to talk about this morning. And then an application to you. His first temptation they have here, he said he was hungered after 40 days of fasting. And the devil comes to him in verse 3 and said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now what's so bad about that? I mean, you're hungry? There's nothing around but a bunch of rocks? I don't know if you've been in many deserts. I lived in the desert for a good while and learned to love it. I thought it was a God-forsaken place at the start. How in the world? Any tree that was there had to be planted by man, you know. And so you begin to think, good night, what a place. But after a while, that place grows on you. But there's not much there. And that's why it's called a desert. It's deserted. There's not much thing there, just rocks and whatever. He's looking at those rocks and the devil says, Why don't you just turn that into a nice baked bread? Why don't you turn that into some nice biscuits? Why don't you make those stones bread? Could he have done it? Of course he could have. Why didn't he do it? I want you to think about one thing about Jesus Christ. In all you read of his life, he never performed a miracle for himself. Never. Every miracle Jesus Christ performed throughout his entire ministry, from the time he was young all the way till he went to the cross of Calvary, was for somebody else. He proved himself to be the Son of God with power by what he could do. He healed the lepers. He caused the blind to see. He raised the dead. You couldn't die in his presence. All he had to do was touch the casket and boy, they come up. Jesus never performed a miracle for himself. Now let me give you a reason why. Doctrinally, thinking about who Jesus is and what he did and what he became, Jesus came to die as a perfect man for men. He didn't come to die as a God for men. He came to die as a substitute man for men. He overcame everything that came in his life, even these temptations, as a man. What he did here, you can do. What he did here, he gave you an example of how you ought to do. Because Jesus Christ did not overcome these temptations in his Godhead. Jesus Christ overcame these temptations as a man. And that's the reason why he could go to the cross of Calvary, and when he died as a man for men. You know, angels can't be saved. You know why? No angels ever died for them. No Savior has ever paid their debt. Angels can't be saved. You know the only people that can be saved? Men. You know why? Because Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, as the one perfect sinless man, died in my place. Amen. And in your place. And that's why you have a salvation. Now, the temptation here is for Jesus Christ to take care of his physical needs. You know what our problems are? We think the physical is more important than the spiritual.
Right.
Most of us Christians do. It's a shame. It's a shame upon the church. It's a shame upon Christianity. It's to your shame that you value your bread more than you value the Word of God.
Right.
That is our shame. I tell you something else it is, it's a shortcut. Every single one of these is going to be a shortcut. And most shortcuts don't lead to the good thing. Most shortcuts, the devil's way is always a shortcut. You don't have to wait. You don't have to control yourself. Get it now. Get it now while the opportunity's there. Strike while the iron's hot. Shortcut. You don't have to wait till you get out to some place where you can buy some bread. Right now, just turn those stones into bread. He would have used his supernatural power for himself, and that would have erased him from becoming our Savior. He never could have done it. Look at the second temptation. Verse 5. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, saith him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. Now, I told you Jesus overcame these temptations as a man, not as God. As a man, he overcame these temptations. As a man, he whipped the devil. And you notice how he did it? It is written. There are a lot of churches today that it doesn't matter what Bible you have, it doesn't matter what the words say, it doesn't matter. In fact, I heard about this big preacher down in Houston, he's taking over some big dome somewhere. He hardly ever uses the Bible. Doesn't use the Bible, doesn't preach the Bible, doesn't need the Bible. People are interested in current events. And so he's a philosopher or an educator or something in current events, and the people are going by crowds, by the thousands in multiple services. But you know what Jesus said? It is written. You know what you can do? You can say the same thing. He didn't do anything you can't do. He picked a verse and he said, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He said, It is written. What is written? Bread's not the most important thing. Even though you think it is, it's not the most important thing. Your physical needs, your physical satisfaction is not the most important thing in your life. And many of you put your jobs above God, your jobs above the Lord. You put your bread or your pleasures above the Lord. He said, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There's another little thought about that. Every word, that means we must have every word. There's nothing missing. Some people are looking for some this book and that book, the epistle to the Laodiceans or something else like that. Oh no, my friend, we don't need anything. You got everything you need right here. It's complete. When the devil brings a temptation to him, Jesus recognizes it's a shortcut and it's a way to short circuit his own ministry, and he resists it. You know, I have sort of a rule of thumb in my life. I try to see the background of whatever it is I'm facing. Does it come from God or does it come from the world? Does it come from God? Does it come from my flesh? Does it come from God and the Word of God, or does it come from the devil? And you know, if the devil's for it, I'm against it. Even though he seems to be on my side sometimes, I'm trying to help you out. I'm going to give you a shortcut. Well, we get your pleasure right now. You don't have to wait. Wait like other people. Wait like those old people. Oh, many of you young people, you're sold a bill of goods every day and you haven't been down the road long enough to know it. And you get short-circuited and you miss out on many blessings in life because you take the shortcut way to your pleasure or to your advancement or to your money or to your job. A whole lot of things. A lot of things. But Jesus answered him with Scripture. It is written. Now, by the way, who wrote the Scripture? The Holy Spirit. Jesus. He didn't have to say it is written. Why do you think he said it is written? For you. For me. That we could read back in here, this is the way Jesus handled temptation. This is the way Jesus whipped the devil. And you can whip the devil the exact same way. It is written. Oh, but by the way, that doesn't solve all the problems. You see, the devil knows how to quote Scripture too. Look at what he has. The devil taketh him up into a holy city, the holy city, that's Jerusalem, setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple. Oh, that great, big, beautiful Herod's temple. I bet that pinnacle is high. Saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. Devil quotes Scripture. He's quoting it this morning all over the world. The devil quotes Scripture. For it is written. I'll give you a verse, he says. You want to use verses with me? I'll give you verses. There's probably not hardly anything you can't prove by Scripture, if you know how to twist the Scripture. It says, somebody read the story of David and committing adultery with Bathsheba and whatever, and then turned over to another verse and says, go and do thou likewise. You can prove almost anything if you take enough out of it, leave enough out of it, and put just exactly what you want into it. He says, you want Scripture? I'll give you Scripture. So he takes Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. And he quotes this to Jesus Christ. You know what? I believe this belongs to Jesus Christ. Even though the devil's using it, I believe it's the correct Scripture. I believe it belongs to Jesus Christ. And he said, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. He said, we've got Scripture proving, if you're the Son of God, you can jump off the pinnacle of that temple, and you're not going to be hurt. Not even going to be a scratch on you. You want to make a big splash? You want the people in the temple to recognize who you are? You want them to bow down to you and say, oh, the Messiah has come finally? You want to get what you are, what were prepared to get? You want to get the honor, the pride that you're supposed to have? Then simply jump off of that up there and drop down here. No, you won't be harmed one bit. What Jesus did. He said, it is written again. Hey, there are more verses than the one you're quoting me. Be real careful when somebody quotes Scripture to get you to do wrong. You can do that. I've been preaching a long time. I've heard some messages that were just out of the devil, man. They didn't come from God. They might be coming from a so-called Christian preacher and a so-called Christian church, but they didn't come from God. They're not in the will of God. They're not in the purpose of God. And by the way, just because you read your Bible a little doesn't mean you know it well enough. Did you notice the Scriptures he used were appropriate?
Yep.
He didn't miss it. You need to know enough of your Bible to know which scriptures to use when the right time comes.
That's right.
You need to know enough of your Bible, not that you read it one time or something like that, but that, by the way, you could take, well, there is a verse right here, and you know where to find it, and you can go there in time of need.
That's right.
Jesus said, it's written again. And what is written this time? Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You parents, you know this. Your kids are going to test you. They are going to tempt you. Some of them get away with it over and over and over again because you're not a good enough father or you're not a good enough mother. You know, God is very patient. And sometimes He puts up with your temptations. The Bible tells us that in the Old Testament, God's people tempted Him over and over and over again. In fact, there's a list of temptations where they tempted God and they died like flies by the thousands because they thought they could get away with tempting God. God has brought us out of Egypt. We're the promised people. We're headed for the promised land. What's God going to do to us? I'll see what God will do to you. He'll let your children go in instead of you. That's what God will do. You better be careful in tempting God. Now, Jesus, who is He? If thou be the Son of God. He is the Son of God. He could have done exactly what the devil said. But He said, wait a minute, you better not tempt God. I've heard some people that believe in predestination very strongly, that believe they could walk out and stand right in front of an 18-wheeler doing 70 miles an hour, let it hit them, and they couldn't die. Well, I'll tell you what. You can't die until your time is to die. But you go tempt God in front of an 18-wheeler today, and it'll be your time. I guarantee you, it'll be predestined. You were predestined to be that stupid, it'll be your time. You don't want to be tempting God. God just might spank. You don't want to be tempting God. My Bible says He sometimes takes the lives of Christians. You get out of the will of God, you get cross-will of the will of God, He can't use you anymore. He may not put you on a shelf, He may put you in a grave. He's done it. Ananias and Sapphira thought they could tempt God. They agreed together. Before they ever did it, we're going to do this right here like God can't see. Like God doesn't know. Well, maybe Peter can't see, maybe Paul can't see, maybe I can't see, but God sees well. He's not blind, He's not deaf, He's not lame, He's not sick, He's not old, and time doesn't matter to Him, Brother Steve. I want you to know something. You better not tempt God because God just might cut that arm off. You stick it out there like that, it just might be gone. You step out in front of that railroad track, and that train's coming down the road, you just might have tempted God, and you shouldn't have done it. By the way, this is a shortcut too. You see, Jesus is going to be recognized as the Son of God. Maybe He's not right now, except among the very few people. John the Baptist, maybe. His mother, maybe. Maybe a few people that might have believed John when he pointed him out 40 days earlier. Behold, the Lamb of God was taken away the sin of the world. Maybe some of them already know this is the Messiah. This is the Savior. This is the One. Most people don't. But I tell you what the devil said. We can get you there quick. We have a shortcut. We have an express package. We don't have to go through all the regular rules and things like that. You don't have to wait. Don't have to spend your time waiting. We'll get you there a whole lot quicker. Why don't you just jump down off the pinnacle of the temple? And right now, there'll be enough witnesses to testify. I saw Him fly right off there, and He wasn't hurt a bit. But Jesus answered with Scripture. It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. I've heard a lot of commentary, different people that thought the devil couldn't do it. You know what I believe? I believe the devil could have delivered on his offer. I believe he could have delivered. You want these kingdoms? I'll give them to you. You want this glory, this pleasure, all of these things out here? I'll give it to you. I believe it was a legitimate temptation, and Christ knew it. Shortcut again. Does Christ have all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them at the present time? No, he doesn't. Some of the kingdoms of the world don't even recognize him. There are great people in the population of this world today that do not even know his name. Is he ruling over them? No, he's not, but he's going to. But that's 1900 years ago. 1970 years ago. And the devil says, I'll give it to you now. It's a legitimate offer. All the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. It's a shortcut again. In fact, all three of these, in my mind, are shortcuts to what Christ is going to get anyway. Everything that the devil tempted him with was something Christ was going to get anyway. The bread, when he walked out of the desert, there's going to be some place to find bread. There's going to be a panaderia right there on the outside, a bunch of little pastries, you know. There's going to be somebody out there walking along saying, hey, would you like a loaf of bread? You look like you're a hungry young man. And they pass him right out. He's going to get the bread anyway. He doesn't have to go the devil's way to get it. And by the way, that glory, that pride, that recognition, this is the Messiah, the Son of God. You remember he sort of wondered why his mother and daddy didn't understand. When he's 12 years old, he goes into the temple and he has all of these great PhDs and THDs and all the professors of the land stymied by his questions and his answers at 12. And his mama comes after him, upset. His daddy's upset, saying, don't you know we weren't worrying about you? We thought you were with so-and-so, cousin so-and-so over there. He said, don't you know I must be about my father's business? There's his pride. There's his respect. There's the knowledge of who he is. Don't you know it had to be hard to hold that in for 30 years? Man, you can't hold it in for 5 minutes. Somebody brag on you about something, and boy, you on the telephone telling everybody. You got your internet out, and boy, you're blogging it all over the place. In fact, we're bragging before we even get it. I'm going to get this, I'm going to get that, I'm going to get this, and maybe you don't get it. Have you ever had that happen to you? You thought you were going to get it, but you didn't get it? Yeah, That's happened. What an opportunity. Right now, I'll give you this, the shortcut. You don't have to go through the long way. You don't have to be despised. You don't have to be rejected. You don't have to have the troubles. You don't have to put up with the people. I'll get you there. Jesus said, no, think I'll wait. All the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, you just fall down and worship me. All Jesus had to do was bow the knee. Bow his knee and bow before the devil and say, you're the one. Give me now what I want. Give it to me. He'd have gotten it. He's going to get it anyway. Did you know something? It's going to happen anyway. It hadn't happened yet 2,000 years. We're looking at a couple of thousand years, and there's still places all over this supposed Christian nation where Jesus' name is bad-mouthed and used wickedly. And people that profess to be Christians don't even serve Him. Someone said there's a lot of hypocrites in the church. There sure is. Most hypocrites are going to end up in hell. I'd rather be with a few of them for a little while than all of them for all eternity. I'll take the few hypocrites that are in the church and the few weak Christians that maybe aren't hypocrites. They're just weak. They're not putting on a big show. They're not trying to be somebody big. Well, there are plenty of those. But Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. You know, God first. Well, I think of these three things. God first. The problem with too many of us, it's flesh first. You know what's going to get you young people in trouble? Your flesh. Your hormones are raging and running, and you think you're big and you want to be big right now. You want everybody to recognize you as a man, and some of you young boys, boy, you put your cigarettes out and you hang your tattoos out and you put your hair, style your hair some way. You're going to wear a certain kind of clothes and you're going to have your pants hanging down off your hips so far they almost got nothing to keep them up. And you're cool. Oh, you're cool. Just watch me. I'm tough. I'm tough. And you know, some of these old boys walking around you look at you and think, I'd swat him just like a fly. And the truth is, you wouldn't last 5 minutes. You're not near as tough as you think you are, and you don't look near as tough. You just look dumb. And some of you little girls, you really think you want the attention of the boys. You really think you do. And so you dress for it. And you mamas dress them up like that. And you daddies let them dress up like that. And you really think you want the attention of the boys. Wait till you get it.
Right.
Hang on. Well, you're going to get it. It'll come your way. Shortcuts. Shortcuts. Young people think, I'm a man now. I'm a woman now. I'm going to live my life. And why should I wait for sex? Why should I wait for things? I want them now. I ought to have them now. By rights, they're mine now. Big mistake. I don't believe there's a shortcut that the devil ever offers that turns out good in the end. You're going to get a shortcut to studying. You're going to get a shortcut to sex. You're going to get a shortcut to pleasure. You're going to get a shortcut to honor. You want to get a shortcut to respect. It's going to blow up in your face. It may not this year. It will sometime. The devil always looks good at the beginning and he turns out bad at the end in every case. Look at the ads up there and these beautiful women showing off their bodies that probably they paid thousands of dollars to have all sorts of help done to it. And they're up there, and boy, look at them, boy, they're drinking beer and they're living the high life. You don't see what's on the other side of that sign. A lot of divorces and broken marriages and beat up kids and troubles and trials and damage to the whole society. You don't hurt yourself without hurting other people around you. You go ahead and sin and you think, I'm a man, I'm doing my thing. I'm a woman, I'm doing my thing. It doesn't matter anybody else because I'm my own person. Everything you do touches a whole lot of other people. The biggest problem with the church today is we live for the physical and not the spiritual. God help us that we use some time in our life to do the spiritual. You think eating your breakfast is more important than taking in some of the Word of God? You're wrong. You're wrong. But in practice, I know what you do. You're wrong. The spiritual is always more valuable. But you can't see it. And you've been blinded by the devil to think that I want these things, I need these things, I hunger for these things. And one of the best things all of us could do would be deny our hunger and choose the spiritual.
Amen. That's true.
Pride. How many of us want to be recognized? Somebody to brag on us. In fact, we've been making a joke of it in the schools. We brag on everybody. Everybody gets a certificate. Everybody gets this and everybody gets that. Come awards day, the whole school's walking down. You know, half of those bums haven't done a thing. It's the truth. Everybody needs recognition. Now, some of you need a good spanking. That's the kind of recognition that you need. You need somebody to tan your little hide. Put you some calluses on your understanding. You don't have to have everything now. And the truth is, it might be a whole lot better for you if you don't get it till later. That's the truth. Glory and pleasure. Right now, some of you watch TV and are interested in sports. We've got some of these sports heroes that are multimillionaires. But they're just great big spoiled babies. Great big spoiled babies. Crying and whining and complaining and goodness gracious. Sound like you, don't they? Sound like you. Mama doesn't give me what I want. And Daddy doesn't give me what they don't give me the respect that I need. And I don't get the pleasure that I want right now. I've got to work. I've got to do this. I've got to do something else. Shortcut's not the way. And the flesh isn't the way. You know something that he did here? He taught us how to handle temptation. Take a look, if you will, in Matthew chapter 16. Verse 23. Peter has just rebuked the Lord. It's amazing what Peter can do. Peter can be the very first to have a spiritual insight and to recognize something spiritual. He can also be the very first to stick his foot in his mouth. Here he is, he just rebuked the Lord. The Lord's telling him about his crucifixion. He's telling him about where he's headed. And Peter rebuked him, No, be that far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. Look at verse 23. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. For thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the those that be of men. What are you living for? You just think about it right now. What are you spending your money on? What are you spending your time doing? How much of it are the things that God loves? Oh, well, I'm tired of hearing some preacher. I'm tired of hearing a Sunday school teacher. I'm tired of mom and daddy. I'm tired of somebody else out there preaching to me. Hey, listen, here's what Jesus said to Peter. You're an offense to me. You offend me. You ever sit down by somebody on a bus or a train or a plane that offended you? I have many times. I've done a lot of traveling. Some people just have excessive bad breath. They probably don't know it, but they lean over and speak to you right here. Some people don't bathe often enough. They're an offense. And you know, sometimes I've been in restaurants and the language that the people were using at the table next to me and loud enough, it was an offense to me. Well, they offended Jesus. Peter offended Jesus. Thou art an offense. And what was his offense? You savor. You savor the things that be of men. You don't have a spiritual insight. You don't understand what I'm doing. You have no idea of the will of God. And all you do is savor the things that be of men. You ought to choose God sometime. God ought to come first. You'd be wise if you did. James chapter 4. With this I'll close. Just exactly what Jesus did. In those three temptations there. And here's what Peter said. James says. Verse 7. Chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Amen.
The Bible said Jesus submitted himself to God in each of these three cases. He resisted the devil and told him to get out. And the devil left him. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Now, you may think that takes a long time. It might. It doesn't mean you just say, get out, please, and he leaves. You got to resist him. You got to submit yourself to God. And it's not enough to resist the devil. You need to submit yourself to God. The devil has more power than you have. This world's got more power than you've got. Numbers are on their side. Society's on their side. Education's on their side. Everything out here's on their side. And all you've got's God. But He's enough. He's enough.
Amen.
Some of you in here, you've heard the gospel before. Time and time again, you've sat in this church, you've listened to the gospel you preach, you've heard it on the radio, you've read it in gospel tracts, and yet today, you're still listening to the lies of the devil and will not submit yourself to God. Ah, but today is the day of salvation. Right now is the accepted time. If you'll repent of your sins and take Christ as your Savior, He'll save your soul and change your life. Some of you are right now making plans to satisfy your flesh with a shortcut from God. You're not going to wait on God's way. You're going to go your shortcut way. Let me tell you what's going to happen. There's going to be sorrow come your way. You don't ever short-circuit God and win. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a preacher of the gospel. I don't care if you've been preaching 48 years. You don't short-circuit God. You don't shortcut the things of God and win. How about putting God first? We're going to have an invitation. 249.